Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Is it just me, or are these years getting so much faster, so much shorter? It's like, boom, all of a sudden, what do you mean it's New Year's Eve this weekend? What are you talking about? Isn't it like July or maybe August at the most? And then whammo, here we are, the end of the year. Anyway, happy New Year to you, early New Year. Greetings here on Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble. Great to be with you. And we'll do that. I do this every year. And a lot of people do, if in fact not every single radio show and every single radio show host does kind of a look back and talk about the biggest stories and some other things that happened over the course of the year. And we're certainly going to do that in a lot of different ways and looking at a lot of different areas because you just kind of in the news cycle that we're in now, I mean, poof, something's huge news on Monday. And by a week later, it's just kind of history. You don't go look it up on your Facebook feed if you even bother to do that. Or you go to the news cycle and you go to foxnews.com or wherever you go for your news. And stuff is gone so quickly replaced. We're so voracious in our consumption of news and media and all things informative that stuff just kind of disappears. So it'll be interesting as we go through this. I've got a month by month looking at the big events of the year, and then an AP poll, the U.S. election voted top news story of 2016. So like the top 10 news story arenas, so like the U.S. election or Brexit or black men that are killed by the police or the Pulse nightclub massacre down in Orlando, stuff like that. And then we'll look at a list of celebrity deaths from this year. I know it sounds really cheery, and you may know this, you may not. I'm a big movie fan, so we'll look at the top 15 grossing movies of the year and see if you're in the know on that one. And we'll just kind of go over what happened during the course of the year. But let me start by saying thank you for those of you that have been with me here, not only in 2016, but before that. And even thank you to those of you that perhaps just discovered the show recently, whether it's on Facebook or on one of the radio stations, one of the many radio stations we're on. We thank God for that. But I thank God for you and for your time, which I know is valuable. And I know it's valuable because God gave it to you. And that in and of itself makes it valuable and makes you valuable. So the fact that you spend some of your time, your precious time, with me, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days a week, whatever works for your schedule. Just let me thank you for that. It's an incredible privilege for me to be able to serve you in this capacity and to hopefully bless you, challenge you, equip you, make you laugh occasionally, perhaps make you cry, perhaps turn the radio off or switch off Facebook or whatever it is from time to time. But I really do appreciate you being here. And hopefully I'm making good use of your time and glorifying God above all of it. So we are live again today. So I will not be live on Monday. Hopefully, God willing, I'll be alive. But I won't be live doing the show, but I'll be back on Tuesday. Now, Howard, how are you supposed to encourage me? Howard's my producer, who's a great guy back there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And on the council, all of a sudden it says, yawn. Now, was that you yawning and I couldn't hear you? Or is that you yawning because of what I'm saying? I looked up all of a sudden on the council here on my computer, and you could see this if you were watching on Facebook Live. You would see what I was doing. And I'm like, yawn. Well, okay, pump me up, bro. Get me going to get through the show. Thanks a lot for that. Anyway, let's get started as we look back at 2016 and what's happened here, but also around the world. So where to start? So I've got something I want to look at here from the Wall Street Journal. They did a year in review 2016. They did the election, the markets, corporate news, U.S. news, world news, life, and the arts. But the world order in flux, which I think is a fascinating and certainly a provocative title here on this Wall Street Journal article. And here's how they kind of lead off. It would be correct to say 2016 was the year of the politically unexpected. It would be more accurate to say it was the year of the politically unimaginable. The most unimaginable event of all, of course, was the election of Donald Trump. Mr. Trump is the ultimate outsider, the first person ever elected president with no experience in either government or the military. His victory represents the triumph of new wave populism over a comfortable political and financial establishment. And it didn't happen in isolation, again, from the Wall Street Journal article today. It represented merely the most dramatic example of a trend moving across the industrialized world, which is fascinating. Mr. Trump's triumph was preceded by the stunning popular vote in the UK to withdraw from the European Union. That was Brexit, of course. It was followed by a referendum in Italy in which Eurosceptics toppled the prime minister and his government, and a rise in the prospects for similar nationalist and populist movements in coming elections in the Netherlands, France, and Germany. These movements all share common roots. They represent a kind of primal scream from citizens who think their positions within society and the economy are being marginalized by economic globalization, technological advancement, mass migration, and demographic change. They have come to feel they can't get the political establishment to listen seriously to their anxieties and anger, and so instead have set out to topple the establishment. In the U.S., that took the form of a decisive uprising by white working class voters in the industrial upper Midwest. The Republican Mr. Trump lost the overall popular vote to Democrat Hillary Clinton by a whopping 2.8 million votes, but won the Electoral College by running up his tally in economically distressed areas of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Ohio. So it goes on to talk about that and kind of this rise of populism, not just around America, but around the world. And ultimately, all told, Trump won roughly 2,600 counties around the U.S., while Mrs. Clinton took fewer than 500. And by the way, her popular vote margin of 2.8 million, roughly, could all be accounted for by the state of California, which I've mentioned before as somebody that teaches the Constitution and teaches civics to high school age homeschoolers. That, ladies and gentlemen, my friend, is exactly why we have the Electoral College. Because most people would see the fact that if you allow one state, and within that one state, a few of its major metropolitan areas to choose the president of the United States for the other 49 states and all the other counties and all the other areas, metropolitan, suburban, and rural, that's not exactly a representative republic. But if we did a popular vote, that's exactly what would happen. Your president, my president, would be determined by the New York area, the LA area, and pretty much that's it. It wouldn't be determined by, well, where I live in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area of North Carolina. It wouldn't be determined by you, my friends down there in Tampa or over in St. Augustine or up into Georgia. It definitely wouldn't be determined by our friends out there in Iowa or Kansas or Nebraska. None of you guys, none of us. It would be New York and L.A., and that's the end of it. So that's when you can just kind of do away with the popular vote margin. So when we come back month by month, the biggest top 10 news areas of the year, plus movies, dead famous people, all that good stuff. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Happy New Year. Well, a couple days early, it is only December 30th. Hold your horses there, Steve-O. I know, but when we get together again, I'll play a best-of show on Monday, but I'll be back live on Tuesday, God willing, and it'll be 2017. Whammo, and isn't it interesting? And we're going to go through a bunch of the news stories from the year and different highlights from the year. Some of them are lowlights, obviously. But isn't it interesting how the beginning of the year brings with it kind of a clean slate? It feels like a clean slate. We're not really changing anything except the year. Which in the end all analysis is just our way of keeping track of time. But it is, 2017, maybe it's going to be a lot better than 2016, or hopefully it starts better than 2016 ended, this, that, and the other thing. So it is something that you're not going to make a biblical case for that, because God is always faithful. He's always good. He's always interested in your well-being and in teaching you and leading you. But there is that kind of clean slate, start over, reset aspect of a new year, which I think a lot of us look forward to. And hey, we'll take it. We find some encouragement there and some optimism. I think that's a good thing. Okay, let's go back to January of this year. I'm going to take you through the major news stories of each month. We'll do this quickly and just see how many of them you even remember, because the cycle is so vicious. It gets on the screen and it's off the screen pretty quick. Then we forget things, and it's just on to the next big news cycle. the next big news item, which shows you how wide and yet how shallow we can be as a culture. Okay, January 2nd, protesters led by Ammon and Ryan Bundy take over a wildlife refuge in Oregon and begin a week-long standoff that ends with one dead and eight arrested. Remember that? That was a year ago almost. Yeah. Tim Dillon. Thanks for that, Tim. Don't forget Harambe. I actually had the gorilla death, the homicide in here, but I didn't highlight it. Just good old Harambe. Now, if you don't know who Harambe is, God bless you. January 13th, Iran releases 10 U.S. sailors after detaining them when their Navy vessels veered into Iranian waters. That was January 13th. January 17th, the day after the United States lifts sanctions against Iran, Iran releases 4 detained Americans. How convenient. February 1st, Hillary Clinton claims victory in the Iowa caucuses over Bernie Sanders, while Ted Cruz leads a crowded field of Republican candidates. February 2nd, the next day, the average price of gasoline falls to less than $1.80 per gallon. Remember that? February 7th, Denver Broncos win over the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50. March 20th, President Obama visits Cuba. The first time in more than 80 years a sitting U.S. president has visited the country. That's all the way back on March 20th, how time flies. March 22nd, ISIS claims responsibility for a Brussels terror attack at a subway station and airport that killed more than 30 persons and injured hundreds. The next day, North Carolina governor here in North Carolina, where I live and broadcast from, Pat McCrory signs a bill mandating students use bathrooms corresponding with the sex on their birth certificate. The decision sparks a backlash from big businesses, including numerous event cancellations. That's not exactly an accurate statement there in terms of what he signed. That was a bill mandating everybody in North Carolina would have to use a bathroom, public bathroom, corresponding with the sex on their birth certificate, now known as, of course, HB2, or the infamous bathroom bill. April 27th, the federal court sentences former Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert to 15 months in prison for a bank fraud case linked to sexual abuse allegations where he was making some payments to keep people quiet. Dennis Hastert living part of his life in the closet, if you will. May 9th, North Carolina files suit against the Department of Justice to defend its bathroom bill, HB2. A couple days later, a federal judge strikes down. By the way, the Department of Justice files a federal lawsuit against North Carolina that afternoon. So in the morning, shots fired from North Carolina at the feds. In the afternoon, the feds say, well, we're suing you too. So it's been fascinating to watch that. And I say praise the Lord for a state that actually tries to exercise its state rights. May 12th, federal judge strikes down a portion of Obamacare, ruling President Obama does not have authority to spend money on subsidies to health insurers without congressional appropriation. May 25th, 11 states file suit against the Obama administration over its demand that public schools allow students to use the restroom and locker room facilities of their choice based on their gender identity. That was a Title IX maneuver, completely unconstitutional, completely illegal, and using the bully pulpit. Glad to see states fighting back. A couple days later, on May 27th, President Obama becomes the first sitting president to visit Hiroshima, Japan. In June 12th, Islamic terrorist Omar Mateen opens fire at a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, killing 49 and injuring dozens more. Remember that? The deadliest mass shooting in recent U.S. history. 2 days later was when that little two-year-old, Lane Graves, was dragged into a lake near Disney's Grand Floridian and was killed by an alligator. That was a tough week in Orlando, to say the least. On June 23rd, the United Kingdom votes to leave the European Union. That's Brexit. Prime Minister David Cameron resigns the next day, and Theresa May takes over in July. On June 28th, three terrorists attacked Turkey's Istanbul Atatürk Airport, killing 41 persons and injuring more than 200. 2 days later, on June 30th, the Obama administration lifts a ban on openly transgender military service members. First, it's Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then transgender have your way. In the military, very, very dangerous social experimentation in a place that shouldn't have any of that. July 5th, a police officer shoots and kills Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And the next day, an officer in St. Paul, Minnesota shoots and kills Philando Castile. Both incidents spark protests. July 6th, July was a tough month. The Justice Department closes its investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server. The State Department reopens its investigation the next day. And then, of course, the big news in July for some people, Pokemon Go. That's all I'll say about that. July 7th. Remember this? What happened on July 7th? Micah Xavier Johnson opens fire on Dallas police officers during a protest, killing 5 officers and wounding 7 others. That was just a few months ago. July 14th, Mohamed Loji Bouel drives a truck into a crowd of people gathered for Bastille Day in Nice, France, killing at least 84 people and injuring hundreds. The next day was the attempted coup in Turkey. 2 days later, on July 17th, Gavin Long shoots and kills three police officers and wounds three others in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I heard a story just earlier today. This is the worst year for police deaths in a long time, and especially by gunshot. On the 13th, violence erupts in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, after a police officer shoots and kills 23-year-old Sybil Smith. On the 18th, the Obama administration admits a $400 million cash payment. Remember that? To Iran, related to a 1970s military equipment deal that was contingent, they admitted it was contingent on the release of the four American citizens. We read that story a minute ago. September, Pope Francis canonizes Mother Teresa on the 4th. September 17th, police in New York and New Jersey investigate pipe bomb blasts that went off hours apart. The blast in Manhattan injured 29 people. Remember that? On the 20th of September, violent protests erupt in Charlotte, here in North Carolina, after a police officer shoots and kills Keith Lamont Scott. I watched that protest on Facebook Live. The protest wasn't nearly as disturbing as the comments of people watching it. That was a deeply disturbing thing, to see that level of hatred, both by white Americans and black Americans towards one another. That was really, really disturbing. October, Hurricane Matthew, of course, that's the 4th. October 30th, the big October surprise in the election. FBI Director James Comey tells Congress the agency is renewing its inquiry into Hillary Clinton's server after more emails are uncovered. Of course, that's what Hillary would later say led to her demise. November 3rd, any Chicago Cubs fans? Of course, in Game 7, a 10-inning thriller, the Chicago Cubs defeat the Cleveland Indians 8-7 and win their first World Series since, wait for it, like they did, 1908. A couple other November and December stories, the top 10 news, basically subjects. We'll look at that from the AP. And then a really, really shocking year for celebrity deaths, 2016. Some movies, some other stuff. This is Steve Noble, the end of the year wrap up here on Call to Action. We'll be right back. Hey, newsflash, Steve. When the intro music starts, don't talk into the mic. You think after this, I'm coming up on the end of 6 years of doing daily talk radio. 6 years. I can't hardly believe that. But, you know, hello. You know, you'd think I'd know the clock by now. And when I hear the intro music, I wouldn't talk because you hear me over the intro music. Anyway, see, just to prove I'm certainly nowhere close to perfect. And just like the beginning of the show says, I really am an ordinary guy who believes in an extraordinary God. And I just proved it once again. I'm sure I'll prove it again before the end of the show. Okay, we're going through month by month, kind of the big major stories of the year. And isn't it amazing how we forget these things, despite how difficult and heartbreaking and earth-shattering they are, because we're being fed this constant dribble of news. Stuff that's earth-shattering in March is like, it didn't even happen come April. And we need to be wary of that. Because I think life just flies by, these big events fly by, and I think our hearts get a little callous, and we just move from one thing to the next, and I think the country is a mile wide and an inch deep, and oftentimes, that's why it helps, let's step back and just contemplate some things. Actually, think deeply, get out of the media stream, take a screen fast for a few days or a few weeks, if we can even survive that, and let's be a little more contemplative in our Christianity. Okay, so we're in November. We'll finish this up real quick. Of course, November 3rd, Game 7, the Chicago Cubs win the World Series, first time since 1908. The next day, okay? It's 5 days later. Donald Trump surprisingly wins the U.S. presidential election, surprising to some, not everybody, defeating Hillary Clinton. November 26th, people pour into the streets of Miami's Little Havana neighborhood to celebrate the death of... right, Fidel Castro. November 28th, Somali refugee Abdul Razak Ali Artan drives his car into a crowd of pedestrians at Ohio State University before jumping out of his car and stabbing bystanders. The 29th of November, drought conditions fuel wildfires throughout the South, igniting the Great Smoky Mountains and ravaging Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where 14,000 persons flee homes and tourist spots just last month. December 2nd, a fire during the party at an Oakland, California warehouse claims the lives of at least 36 people. December 6th, Ohio lawmakers pass a ban on abortion after a baby's heart begins beating, which was awesome. And then, of course, without much shock, on December 13th, Governor John Kasich vetoes the bill but signs a less extensive pro-life measure. So he is a somewhat spineless pro-life advocate when it's convenient and when you don't push too hard. Because, you know, God forbid we try to save all the babies. On December 7th, a federal judge halts the hand recount of 4.8 million presidential ballots cast in Michigan. And on the 19th, the Electoral College voted 304 to 227 to elect Donald Trump, president of the United States, over Hillary Clinton. And when you look at those individual things, they pretty much month by month, and you look at the AP poll, where they poll news editors and news directors. They've been doing that since 1936. And top 10 stories or categories in order. Number one, the U.S. election, of course. Number two, Brexit. Number three, black men killed by police. That was Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. The Black Lives Matter issue that pretty much raged all year. Now, number four, Pulse nightclub massacre. That was the 49 people murdered in Orlando. Five, worldwide terror attacks across the globe, which ISIS was able to claim just about every one of them. Number six, attacks on police. Ambushes and targeted attacks on police officers in the U.S. claimed at least 20 lives. Heartbreaking. This is a serious issue that is not going away, regardless of who the president is. And for us as members of the body of Christ, we need to be modeling reconciliation and unity over everybody else. Number seven, Democratic Party email leaks, which has been massive for months. Number eight, Syria. Number nine, the Supreme Court. Of course, Antonin Scalia's death in February, a huge, huge issue. And number 10, Hillary Clinton's email. So not since I mentioned Antonin Scalia, check this out. I don't remember a year where so many kind of movie stars and stuff, celebrity deaths. I mean, some really, really big ones. So let's just go back. January, David Bowie. Alan Rickman, who you would know from Die Hard, or more recently, he played Snape in the Harry Potter series. Dan Haggerty, if you're my age or older, I'm 50. Remember Grizzly Adams, The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams? That was Dan Haggerty. Glenn Frey, of course, from the Eagles. That was in January. In February, if you're a Earth, Wind & Fire fan, Maurice White, the founding member of Earth, Wind & Fire. Antonin Scalia on February 13th, appointed by Ronald Reagan in 1986. He was 79. Tony Burton. He was the trainer of Apollo Creed and later Rocky in six Rocky movies. Let's see. In March, Nancy Reagan, Ken Howard, who you might remember from The White Shadow. If you're my age or older, you'll remember that. Gary Shandling, I had forgotten about that, also in March. Patty Duke, the actress, in March. In April, Merle Haggard, certainly an infamous and worldwide known country and Western singer. April 21st, Prince. Who died at the age of 57. In May 19th, Morley Safer, of course, CBS News, for 52 years. In June, Muhammad Ali, remember that? On June 3rd, Gordie Howe, the hockey player. June 10th, Anton Yelchin, the really young actor, played Pavel Chekhov in the three most recent Star Trek movies, 27 years of age. Buddy Ryan, if you're a Bears fan or a football fan at all, died in June. Gary Marshall, of course, the writer, producer, actor, Happy Days, Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley, that was in July. For all my Star Wars buddies out there, August 13th, Kenny Baker. Who did he play? Kenny Baker. I'll give you one hint. He was really, really short. Right. R2-D2. Gene Wilder, of course, Willy Wonka, died at the age of 83 in August. Arnold Palmer in September. Shimon Peres, of course, former president of Israel. In November, Janet Reno. Remember Janet Reno, attorney general of the United States, nominated by Bill Clinton. She was 78, hard to believe. Florence Henderson, of course, November 24th. Fidel Castro, November 25th. And just this month, December has been just a shocking month for celebrity deaths. John Glenn on the 8th. Alan Thicke on the 13th. Bernard Fox, who you would remember from Bewitched, and he was in Hogan's Heroes. Craig Sager, who was a big-time sports reporter. Zsa Zsa Gabor on the 18th. George Michael just a couple days ago on the 25th. Carrie Fisher, of course, Princess Leia, on the 27th. And the next day, her mom, Debbie Reynolds, who had been suffering and had been had a lot of health issues over the last couple years. But they were actually, this is so sad, and life really is like a mist. She was discussing with family Carrie's funeral arrangements. And she herself, Debbie Reynolds, either had a stroke or a heart attack and died later that day. Carrie on the 27th and her mom on the 28th. So very sad. And like I mentioned the other day, whenever we have these big time celebrity deaths, anytime I see that, oftentimes you just go, oh, really? And you just kind of go on with your day. I think every time we hear about anybody dying, especially if they've, had what the American culture would say is this awesome life. They had it all. We need to remember the scriptures make it plain that we are to, that our days are numbered, and that we are to count them and to be considering them as precious as they are. And that life is here for a moment and then it's gone like a mist, it says in the book of James. So it's important for us to kind of take all these things captive and go, okay, hold on a second. That's what I mean when I use the phrase contemplative Christianity, is that I just think there's so much that we could take captive and just be more thoughtful about the things around us and the things in the news. And instead of just going, oh, yeah, it's just another story, go, okay, what might I learn from this that could make me a better or more effective follower of Jesus Christ and a better ambassador to a lost and dying world? Okay, so are you a movie person? I am definitely a movie person. That's kind of my cave when I want to disappear. I watch a movie. When I want to kind of shut everything down, I watch movies. Okay, top 15 grossing movies of the year. And they obviously were all released at different times. So number one, this is domestic, Finding Dory. Isn't that amazing? That the kind of probably the most one of the most family-friendly movies ends up at the top of the list. Finding Dory, not rated R, not rated PG-13. Finding Dory, number two, Captain America, Civil War. Number three, The Secret Life of Pets, another kids movie, basically. Number four, The Jungle Book, another kids movie. Number five, Deadpool, definitely not a kids movie. Number six, In Climbing, Rogue One. Cheer the applause. A Star Wars Story, which just came out earlier in the month, is already number six for the year at $358 million total gross. And the top one, Finding Dory, which came out a while ago, $486 million. So, our Star Wars love is continuing to be fed and proven out in the world. Zootopia, number seven, another kids movie. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, number eight. Number nine, Suicide Squad, definitely not for kids. Number 10, Doctor Strange. Number 11, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. That's kind of a Harry Potter offshoot. Number 12, Moana. I haven't seen that one yet, the Disney movie. Number 13, Jason Bourne. Number 14, Star Trek Beyond. Number 15, X-Men Apocalypse. So you got a lot of kind of superhero type stuff in there. All, you know, it's the same story over and over again. Did you figure that out yet? Movies, books, plays, TV shows. It's the same story over and over again. And King Solomon was certainly right. There's nothing new under the sun. You have a protagonist. You have an antagonist. You have an opening. You have tension. You have a climax that resolves the tension. And then is good going to win or is bad going to win? And guess what? Guess what movies do the best? Good over evil. I wonder if there's something to that in the human DNA, in our wiring, that we long to see good triumph over evil. I wonder what's up with that. A few more closing thoughts here on the last Call to Action radio show of 2016. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, doing kind of a 2016 year-end wrap-up. We've been down a lot of different roads, all the top stories of the year, and interesting things to look at, some that are, you know, happy, but not a lot. I mean, isn't it amazing? We don't do a lot of happy in the news. If it bleeds, it leads. That saying's been around for a while, and unfortunately, it's still true. But we're getting ready to turn the corner into 2017 when I'm back on next Tuesday. That will be 2017, a new year, 2017. Weren't we supposed to have flying cars by now? You know, isn't it supposed to, we're supposed to be like people out on a spaceship? Like, what was that movie? Wall-E. Right? We're all just sitting around drinking our giant big gulps in space and having everything brought to us, and you have your filet mignon and your lobster dinner and a little pill, right? Weren't we supposed to be there now? Like, we're all supposed to be the Jetsons. Yeah, not so fast. We're moving along rapidly, much more rapidly than any of us realize, but we're not there yet. Maybe we will be. Do you ever think about, and I'm just off on some tangents here at the end of the show, I have an active imagination. That might be part of why I like movies, or I might have an active imagination because I've always loved movies and that just kind of unleashed that. But when you think about the new heavens and the new earth, as we prepare for 2017 and prepare for eternity, the new heavens and the new earth, and we think of heaven now as, you know, it's going to be out there somewhere, right? But when you study the scriptures, when you study the book of Revelation and a few other places, you find that heaven eventually comes here. a new heavens and a new earth. Earth is renewed. It's not burned up. It's not destroyed. That's bad theology, but it's common theology, but it's bad theology. It's renewed. It's brought back to its original condition. Culture will exist. Creativity will exist. Ingenuity will exist. These things don't go away. We don't just become white robe wearing harp players. And there's, you know, a few hundred million of us or whatever the number is going to be. And we sit around and float on clouds and that's it, and sing praises of the Lord. Now, once we're fully exposed to the grandiose, glory, incredible love of the Lord himself, the creator of all things, our reality, our understanding of reality is going to change. But heaven will come here. The earth is home base, baby, a perfected earth. So all the places today that you wish you could travel to, but you don't have the money or the time or perhaps the physical ability to, I believe by faith, the entire earth will be opened up to the followers of Jesus Christ, because if God made it, it's beautiful and it's intrinsically good. So right now, I mean, you want to use my scientific Star Wars imagination. You've got at least 70 sextillion stars that we've been able to figure out with our puny little brains. And the only entity that can enjoy all of that part of God's creation is God himself. Now, maybe he won't let us go there, but maybe he will. And if all of a sudden you get sin out of the way, we have perfect unity, perfect cooperation, perfect love, and it unlocks the human potential. You can't make a case for me that technology disappears. Biblically, you can't make that case. Everything just gets perfected. Everything gets cleaned out. It's unleashed to be everything that God designed it to be in the first place. So in my sanctified imagination, I'm like, hey, Lord, can I check out some other stuff you've made? Now, checking out the earth and all the amazing things all around it and inside of it and the ocean and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, Hawaii, I'm assuming my wife, God willing, and I are going to go out there the end of next year, sometime in October of 2017, to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, and everything I see, I've got some friends there right now. It looks incredible. And it's not renewed. The Fiji, the Caribbean, Australia, the Great West, the Great Plains, the Asian Rim. I mean, the Badlands of South Dakota and North Dakota. I mean, it's breathtaking now, is it not? And it's a broken earth. It's an earth that's only a reflection of its previous glory, and it will be glorified and renewed. All things will be renewed ultimately by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is so cool. So all of a sudden you go, hey, have you seen the renewed Hawaii? No, I went to the old Hawaii, and that was pretty cool. You ain't seen nothing yet, baby. Get over there now. Well, how can I get there? I don't know. Jesus could kind of materialize, right? And the scriptures say that we'll be like him materially. So what's the potential there? I think it's massive. And for me, you know, I'm like, that's pretty cool. That's enticing. That's exciting. And your mind, I mean, and this is, we're operating with a sin-soaked mind right now. Just imagine the potential our minds have when all the sin and all the brokenness and all the garbage gets out of the way. And the full potential of God's crowning creation, you and me, and every human being that comes to faith in Jesus Christ will be unleashed. Super cool. So Howard got a phone call from a sweet older lady in Conway, Texas. I'm looking at it on a map. And how did she get the phone number? And she was listening to Call to Action Radio. And ma'am, maybe you're picking it up. We're on a couple of stations in the Kansas and Oklahoma area there. And maybe you're picking it up that way. I would love to, if you want to call back and tell Howard what station you're listening on. Because in Christian radio, it's kind of nutty. You can actually be on some stations in places you don't even know it because it's free to air. So it's up there on a satellite, and you can't track some of that stuff. So stations could just be pulling it down. We could be on in Timbuktu for all I know. And so, ma'am, you're listening there in Conway, Texas. God bless you. That's so cool. I would love to know what station you're listening to. But Merry Christmas to you, ma'am, and thanks for putting up with Howard for several minutes. God bless you for that. You're going to get an extra crown, an extra jewel in your crown when you get to heaven. But if you want to call Howard back and tell him what station you're on, or if, Howard, you got that, that's fascinating to me. 866-348-7884, the number you called Howard on a few minutes ago. 866-348-7884. If you could let us know what station you're listening to, that would be really cool. So here's something awesome going on. The pro-life movement, of course, last year, 2015, I had my buddy on the show a lot, Troy Newman, who's with Operation Rescue, and he's on the board of the Center for Medical Progress. Do you remember that? Remember the Planned Parenthood undercover videos? That's the Center for Medical Progress. So we've seen this great anti-Planned Parenthood move. And, of course, with Hillary Clinton looming as the next president, at least so we thought, You know, it looked really bad. The Supreme Court funding Planned Parenthood. Now, all of a sudden, boom, that's all gone. This is a very exciting thing to look forward to in 2017. We'll see what Donald Trump decides to do along these lines. But this is from an article in World Magazine. Pro-lifers look forward to 2017. I'm going to finish with this because this is really encouraging, as it should be. Gene Mancini, president of March for Life, didn't think things could get worse in 2016. First came the landmark 5-3 decision in Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt, where the U.S. Supreme Court struck down safety measures adopted by Texas state lawmakers to regulate abortion centers. The decision in late June represented a major blow to pro-lifers who hoped a different outcome would have ramped up safety standards nationwide and reduced the number of abortions. Then, the very next day, the High Court rejected an appeal from a Washington state pharmacist who did not want to betray his conscience and provide abortifacient drugs, day-after drugs. Justice Samuel Alito wrote in his dissent that those who value religious freedom have cause for great concern. A direct quote. Back-to-back court defeats combined with extreme pro-abortion candidate Hillary Clinton leading in most presidential polls at the time had pro-lifers reeling, quote, in a two-day period we thought we were losing our culture, unquote, Mancini said. But 6 months later, as March for Life staff members and volunteers finalized plans for the world's largest annual peaceful protest for the unborn in January, there's a renewed sense of optimism in the pro-life movement for 2017 and beyond. Thank you, Lord. State legislatures across the country continue to make incremental progress on protecting children in the womb. Nebraska became the first state to pass a ban on abortions after 20 weeks in 2010. Since then, more than a dozen states have enacted similar limits and numerous other protections. Thank you, Lord. But pro-life groups have grander long-term goals. Defunding Planned Parenthood. Awesome. Making the Hyde Amendment permanent and barring taxpayer-funded abortions. Awesome. And securing a pro-life Supreme Court to one day overturn Roe versus Wade. Awesome, 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 awesome. An ambitious agenda that seemed impossible earlier this year without pro-life officials in key government positions. But Election Day results have sparked a fresh outlook for pro-life organizations. Quote, with Hillary, we were looking at a pro-abortion Supreme Court for the next 30 or 40 years. We wouldn't get anything passed, said Joe Scheidler, founder of the Pro-Life Action League and a pioneer in the pro-life activism. But Donald Trump's strange election has electrified the movement. So as we move into 2017, friend, let us not, don't think, because there's some evangelical leaders out there saying, hey, God's granted us a reprieve. Well, that may be true, but it also may not. I mean, the fact that we're all alive is God's grace and mercy granting us a reprieve, especially for those who have still to hear the gospel and those who have rejected Jesus Christ and rejected God himself. But to say that that's a reprieve in our nation, here's my concern in 2017, is that people say, oh, Hillary didn't win. We have a reprieve. And now that really, really dangerous thing called apathy sets back in. We get all bent out of shape for 6 months worried about Hillary Clinton. And then Donald Trump wins. And whether you're a Donald Trump person or not, Hillary Clinton losing was great for most evangelicals. But don't act like this battle is over. The country is continuing to become more secular. And as it becomes more secular, it will push to the left. And so the battle is not over. The victory is not won. So please do not stop praying for the nation and specifically for our elected officials. If you need some help with that, once again, let me remind you of my buddy Jim Young, who runs Capital Commission. Go to pray1tim2.org. Pray1tim2.org. You'll see a map of the nation. Click on your state and sign up for an email. You'll get an email every day that will give you 5 or 6 or 7 elected officials, one from the federal level, from your state, sometimes the national level, like the president, the vice president, members of the Supreme Court, and then people from your state legislature to pray for. Let's not stop praying for the nation, and especially for the new president, the new administration, all the new and experienced representatives around the country. And don't think this game is up, because it isn't. The devil's not vanquished yet. He still hates you. He still hates me. The gospel still needs to go forth. Most neighbors are going to die and go to hell. So just because the quote-unquote right person got into the White House, please do not go back to the well of apathy. That comes with a very high cost. Let us continue to pray for those in authority over us. Pray for the lost, to be an example of Christian love and to speak the gospel whenever we have an opportunity. It's been a great year, and I'm excited to see what God does in 2017. So God willing, I'll talk to you again next year.